Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 31, and today I'm feeling a lot better. You may know if you've been listening to the show that the past couple of weeks I've been a little bit under the weather due to allergies, but now I am feeling just fine. I got my COVID shot last week, and I'm feeling really hopeful about the world. Today I wanted to tackle a little bit of a different subject, and that is the topic of misinformation in your belief system and using your emotions to influence what you believe. It is super, super easy to come across misinformation in today's social media-filled world and the fake news cycle and things like that. And this misinformation plays on your emotions. Things that you want to believe are true are presented in a way that seems factual so that you believe it to be true. For example, when things were going around saying that Fox News isn't actually news anymore, it's classified as an entertainment source, at least when that first came out, that wasn't true. I wanted it to be true, and I wanted to tell people that whenever they shared a source from Fox News, because if you're familiar with it, they are pretty terrible over there, but it's just not true. But I'm not going to be tackling Fox News today because that is its own bag of worms. Its own can of worms. Instead, I'm going to be talking about this argument that's been going around the atheist circle for quite a while now. I've heard it mentioned several times by other atheists. I heard it on Bill Maher's documentary, Religious, and it's been in a TikTok that's been shared with me several times, and that is that Jesus Christ, the mythology of Jesus Christ, was based around several of the old gods who had some of the same traits as him. Now, as great as this would be for the atheist cause to say, hey, Jesus Christ is the exact same as all of these other gods, but they're way older, I'm going to kind of break those down for you today and kind of show you that that's not exactly how it is. I'm going to go over these old gods with you and sort of talk about the yeses and the nos about how they parallel with Jesus and whether or not this may or may not be true. So without further ado, let's jump into this. So there are four gods that are really brought up in this argument, and that is Attis, Krishna, Dionysus, and Mithra. So Attis is a Phrygian god who was kind of popular around 1200 BC, well before Christianity. And in the TikTok that I was talking about, the claims for him were that he was born of a virgin, he was born on December 25th, he was crucified, he was dead for 3 days, and he was resurrected. The actual myth, however, is a little bit different. So before we can talk about Attis, we have to go back a little bit. There was a hermaphroditic deity named Agdistis, it's hard to say Agdistis, who, for reasons unimportant to this particular story, was castrated and died. And when he died, his body was transformed into an almond tree. Now, one day, a nymph named Nana was sitting under this almond tree, and an almond fell into her lap and impregnated her, and thus was born Attis. Attis was made a high priest by Cybele. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce all of these names, so please bear with me. I'm going to say Cybele, the Phrygian goddess of fertility and protection in time of war. Now, part of Attis's commitment to her as a high priest was a vow of faithfulness and chastity, which he broke. So Cybele found out about this and caused him to go insane. In his insanity, he castrated himself. Super weird. There's a lot of castration in Phrygian mythology. And that killed him. And when he died, his body was also turned into a tree because Cybele pleaded to the gods to restore youth to his body so he wouldn't decompose. Because even though he broke his vow to her, she still loved him dearly. So the gods, in their trickster madness, turned him into a tree instead of keeping his body fresh for all time. So I guess you could say he was born of a virgin because it was a nymph who was impregnated by an almond from a tree that used to be the body of a god. There is no source at all talking about that he was born on December 25th. He was not crucified at all. He killed himself. he was dead for 3 days and then for all of eternity after that. And he technically wasn't resurrected. He was transformed into another form of life, but that certainly wasn't resurrection. So if you were to ask me, which I'm not an expert in any of this, but in my humble opinion, I don't think there's a lot of parallel to Jesus Christ here. It's just, you know, some really basic base level mythology stuff that one could argue also happened to Jesus Christ, but not really. So to me, Addis seems like a very, very, very weak argument, in fact, a non-argument at all, for the carbon copying of Jesus Christ. Now, next is Krishna, who was and still is a Hindu deity who sort of gained prominence around 900 BC, but he is still loved and worshipped and revered by the followers of the Hindu religion to this day. Now, the claims of Krishna are that he was born of a virgin, his birth was signaled by a star in the east, he performed miracles, and he was resurrected after death, although in the video it doesn't talk about how many days or whatever after. Now, the story of Krishna is deep and rich, and I recommend doing some research on him on your own time because his story is fascinating. But for the purposes of time, I'm just going to be hitting on the main points. So Krishna wasn't born of a virgin. His mother had 7 other children before him. Some versions of the story say that he came from an immaculate conception, but other versions of the same story say that he wasn't. He was born of completely natural means. Either way, though, there was no virgin birth involved at all. I didn't find any valid sources saying that there was a star in the east to signal his birth, but there are a couple of minor parallels to the classic nativity in that his birth was visited by Hindu angels and cowherds, and there were flowers, but not really spices, brought to his mother. This alone doesn't really indicate any kind of plagiarism on the part of Christians, though. He did perform some sort of miracle, although they're pretty different from the kind that we see in Jesus Christ. In every account of Krishna's life, he performed some sort of strange feat, like lifting a mountain with his pinky or shape-shifting into other people. He is known for raising the dead, but so are several other gods. So, again, paralleling that with Jesus Christ seems a little unfair. Krishna actually wasn't resurrected upon death. He was killed by a hunter who mistook him for a deer. The hunter shot him in the heel, which was his only weak spot, and his spirit ascended into heaven. Now, I think it's interesting, though, that his heel was his only weak spot, which is very, very similar to the myth of Achilles, whose weak spot was his heel. And I'm not going to go into the story of Achilles, but the parallels there are much stronger than the parallels of Krishna and Jesus Christ. Now, the next one is Dionysus, who is a Greek god from 500 BC. And I think when you hear all of these people claiming that Jesus Christ was a carbon copy of other gods, Dionysus is the one that's brought up most frequently. And I'm not sure why, as you'll hear when I get into the mythology of Dionysus. Now, the claims for him were that he was born of a virgin, born on December 25th, performed miracles, was referred to as the King of Kings, and was resurrected. Now, the actual story of Dionysus is wild. And once again, I won't be getting into too much detail for the sake of time, but I highly, highly recommend reading about Dionysus. Now, Dionysus was born of Zeus and a human woman named Semele, is how I'm going to pronounce it. Normally, this would make one a demigod, a la Percy Jackson, but the circumstances of Dionysus' birth were a little bit different. Semele knew that a god had impregnated her, but she didn't know which one. So one day Zeus visited her and offered to grant her one wish, and her wish was to see his true form. Now, with Zeus, it is very similar to the mythology of God, of Yahweh, where if you look upon him, you will burn to a crisp because of his glory. And that is exactly what happened when Zeus showed himself to Semele. She was instantly burnt to a crisp at the sight of his glory. Zeus was able to save Dionysus' fetus, so he sewed it to his thigh, until he was ready to be born. Super weird. But no virgins or immaculate conceptions were involved with this one at all. There's once again no evidence for Dionysus' birthday, so claiming it to be December 25th is really nothing more than just revisionist history, or I guess revisionist mythology. Now, Dionysus did technically perform the miracle of raising the dead, but he did so by traveling to the underworld and facing Thanatos, which is nothing at all like the miraculous accounts of Jesus Christ. The person he raised from the dead, by the way, was Semele, his birth mother. There's no credible evidence anywhere of Dionysus being referred to as the King of Kings. He was referred to as the God of the Vine because he was the God of wine and fertility. And I think somewhere in the Bible, God says, "I am the vine and you are my branches," which is a super loose, super weak parallel. So it's not really worth mentioning. He does have a resurrection story, but it doesn't parallel with Jesus Christ at all. So the account goes that when he was still a baby, the Titans were jealous of him, so some of them stole him away, ripped him to shreds, and ate him. which is super metal, if you ask me. Now, Rhea, one of the Titans who didn't eat him and is considered to be like the mother god or the mother of gods, she didn't eat him, and she was able to resurrect him using a piece of his heart. So it sounds to me so far like there are a bunch of claims of resurrection and miracles being performed, but they're all super different from each other. You know, it's not like you can just boil this down to the same thing. It's sort of like, you know, Star Wars is a classic story where you have a protagonist who was an underdog at first and he learns of his great power and he uses that great power to defeat the big bad at the end. Obviously, there's a lot of other details along the way, but you could use that same to describe, once again, like Percy Jackson, someone who was an underdog and then it turns out he has great power and then he uses this great power to defeat the bad guy at the end. It's a very unfair comparison because the stories are very, 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 very different. Now, the last one is Mithra, who was a pagan god very popular in Rome around 1200 BC. Now, the claims of Mithra are probably the most similar to Christianity, and those are that he was once again born of a virgin. He was born on December 25th. He had 12 disciples. He performed miracles. He was dead for 3 days. He was resurrected. He was referred to as the way, the truth, and the light, and that he was worshipped on Sunday. Now, Mithra is a little bit different from the rest, because Mithraism was a very closely guarded secret cult that was prominent about 100 years before Christianity was founded. When Mithraism was eventually eradicated by Christianity and Christian emperors such as Constantine, the actual theology of the religion was lost. All we have now to reconstruct their belief system is a series of artwork, like sculptures and paintings and engravings and such, to interpret what they may have believed. So anyone who claims to know a good deal about the Mithras cult is either a scholar or someone who is not to be trusted. And most of my time spent researching this particular subject was met with the latter. I do know that a lot of the interpretation of the artwork has been done through a Christian lens, and even in some smaller areas, a Zoroastrian lens. Therefore, it makes sense why we see so much similarity between the two belief systems. Now, this is an excellent example of the idea that if all documented religious theology were wiped from the earth and we had to rebuild it, it wouldn't come back the same way. Belief systems are based entirely on the intellect, or lack thereof in some instances, of the believers, which is why the scientific method is so important. Repeatable, documentable studies and observations about the world around us should be the basis of belief, and not emotion or artwork or hearsay or legend or mythology. I believe my guest Adam Marino several weeks ago now mentioned this. It's a quote by Ricky Gervais, who said the same thing. If you were to get rid of all the religion on the earth, it would never come back the same way. But if you were to get rid of all the science, it would come back the same way, because it's based on repeatable, documentable studies. But I digress. Anyway, those are the four main gods that are brought up in conversation like this that I've heard before, way before this video was ever shared to me, but even in that video. There are others. There are other gods out there that are compared to Jesus Christ, and I'm sure their stories are very similar. We're sure maybe they were born of unnatural means, and maybe they performed miracles, and maybe they raised from the dead, but that doesn't necessarily make them the same as Jesus Christ. That just means that there is a certain mythos, there's a certain code, I guess you will, that all of these various myths, the mythology of these characters, follow. Now, it would be good for the atheist cause if this were true, if Jesus was just based on all of these other older mythological characters. And as an atheist myself, it would bring me nothing but benefit to promote these ideas and try and prove them to be true. But they're not. And that's the whole point. We can't base our arguments or our belief systems or our anti-belief systems in this particular case on misinformation or on hearsay. Having the mindset of, it sure would be nice if this were true, isn't really a good way to go about doing things, especially in the incredibly tense times that we live in. And at the end of the day, it's important to live and let live and believe and let believe. It's very easy to find the problems in belief systems, just as you can find the problem in someone else's, someone else can find the problems in yours. Which is why it's important to find the good in the people and not worry about the belief system. And at the end of the day, you'll make the world a better place. Anyways, friends, that's just about all I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're interested in following me on social media, you can on Twitter at Doctrine Detox and on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod. I'm also on Reddit r/Doctrine Detox Pod if you want to get in on the conversation and join the community. You can also support the show for free anywhere you're listening to this podcast. Just leave a 5-star review. Or if you want to support me more directly, you can through Patreon at patreon.com/Doctrine Detox Pod. Now, last week, I did talk quite a bit about how I was getting mass reports from all of these people who didn't like the content that I was putting out. And I'm still fighting that. However, it doesn't look like Patreon is going to do anything about that right now. So I think it might be safe. If you want to support me, you can. If not, though, if you don't want to or you simply can't afford it, that's understandable. I do my best to make sure that I'm not withholding content from people because I've been there. You know, I've wanted to see the other cool content that other creators are putting out, but I just simply couldn't afford it. And I get it. I've been there. Patreon is there for if you really like the show and you really want me to continue and you really want to physically help me out, but you don't have to. I'm not forcing you to. And other people have kind of been mad at me in the past too because they thought I was putting my content behind a paywall. Absolutely not. All of my episodes are available for free wherever you listen to podcasts. That being said, folks, once again, thank you so much for listening. And never, ever forget that everything is going to be okay. The Doctrine Detox podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.